This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenblum.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor, but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and boarded my plate. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
And I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
Good morning, welcome in. Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Let's find out who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, like, do we suck?
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys are gonna make anyway. You guys suck. When I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the Suck team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan.
And the Flyer, we suck!
Terry Borg!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendrick!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck, I told you that, and that's all I can say.
George Went.
We had fun, but there you go. I suck.
Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man! Turn it off! It's sucking my will to live!
Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks! Disco sucks!
Candace Parker.
It sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Zach Levine.
It sucked to have game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. There's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks.
Robbie Triano.
I suck too.
There was more to that, Josh Allen. It sucks and sucks because losing sucks because it sucks. So you do suck in adding a name to our suckage roll call, which you'll rectify by next week.
It's on brand.
Welcome in. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Our phone number at the Score, 312-644-6767. That will get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to the Scores text line. The NFL is in its Taylor Swift era. The Bulls are in their Arturas Inertiavis era. Cubs are in their nostalgia era, signing reliever C.J. Edwards. And Jeff Passan reports the Cubs have also signed righty reliever Hector Neris. Neris, my bullpen to thee. The Sox are so in their Royals era that I believe Lord will sing the national anthem at the opener. And the Blackhawks remain in their suck era more than ever. But let's start with the Bears. Chris Emma of the Score is reporting the Bears will hire Buffalo defensive line coach, assistant head coach Eric Washington as their new defensive coordinator, whatever that means, with Matt Eberflus as the actual defensive coordinator masquerading as a head coach. Chris will be here later to talk about the hire. Earlier, the Bears hired a new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. He's the one who helped Geno Smith become worse than the year before. He's the one Pete Carroll dissed in public for the way he did his job and not using his best pieces, maybe. So he sounds like a perfect Bears offensive coordinator, doesn't he? The Bears also announced a new quarterbacks coach, Kerry Joseph. He once won the Canadian Football League's Most Outstanding Player Award. He won a Grey Cup and is a member of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders Plaza of Honor and once beat Jared Payton's CFL team, I believe. Okay, fine. But do the Bears have a quarterback? Let me rephrase that. Do the Bears have the quarterback? Do the Bears have a plan to get there, identify it, to have it? No, another plan, because the Bears' plan always sucks. This one figures to suck, too, because it's already been Bears'd up. What with Kevin Warren showing he's here just to play Legos and not run the football part of a football operation, and what with Ryan Poles refusing to examine whether there were better coaching options than a guy who tied an NFL record with three epic fourth-quarter chokes of double-digit leads. And what with Matt Eberflus's choosing more assistant coaches that I just detailed after he failed so miserably the first time. I don't know what the plan is. It's probably not good, but look for clues. What do the Waldron and Joseph hirings tell you about what they're going to do with Justin Fields and the number one pick, presumably Caleb Williams? These are the Bears, remember. So I urge you to connect the clues, but remember the stupid gas that powers through Hallis Hall is the same way Aaron Jones plowed through Eberflus's outmatched and outmuscled and outcoached defense. So I have an idea. The one thing at which the Bears absolutely positively suck is developing a young quarterback. See Mitch Trubisky and Justin Fields for details. And perhaps the only thing the Bears do worse than develop a quarterback is run a quarterback competition. And Ryan Poles has not shown an ability to identify the best quarterback in the draft. See C.J. Stroud for details. And that's scary because, as we know, the Bears have the number one overall pick, which means they get their choice of the best quarterback and what is expected to be a terrific quarterback draft, and can they identify him? What do you have? What can you get? There are arguments to draft Williams and trade Fields. There are just as many arguments to keep the inaccurate and ball security nightmare that is Justin Fields and trade the number one pick for a bundle of help for Fields, which is kind of what happened last year, and Fields didn't get much better. He certainly does never look like what we're seeing in the playoffs the last couple weeks. I know a lot of the Fields cult members are afraid that if he gets traded, he'll suddenly become Patrick Mahomes on another team. They're wrong, but like Don Cooper said, if you're scared, get a dog. You got to be able to make some kind of decision. So what's that decision? So start with who does the quarterback thing better than the Bears, besides everyone, I mean. But whose plan is better? For me, the plan is something the Bears never do, or they try, but they cannot stick to it. But here's what they absolutely must do. Keep Fields, make him the starter, draft Williams, make him sit the season except for maybe the last game. Call it the Mahomes plan. Call it the Packers plan. Call it better than anything the Bears have pulled off. They tried. I'll give them that. They tried to sit Trubisky all season, but Mike Glennon sucked like he was a taller Henry Burris, and Mitch got rushed in, and everybody died. The Bears tried it with Fields, but Andy Dalton hurt his knee, and Matt Nagy had to play Fields. And in a passive-aggressive bit of stupidity, Matt Nagy decided not to block for Fields. And this kid has been scarred and mostly bad ever since. The thing about drafting a first-rounder and sitting him while keeping the incumbent, you can see it worked in Kansas City. Ryan Poles saw it work in Kansas City. He saw it being forced into existence. The Chiefs had a Pro Bowler. Alex Smith was in the Pro Bowl. Mahomes sat. The next season, Alex Smith was traded, and Mahomes has been in the Hall of Fame. The plan worked for decades in Green Bay. For all of George McCaskey's blather about the Bears' history, the Bears' history at quarterback is as much a punchline as the McCaskey family ownership. Oh, and by the way, happy 38th birthday yesterday to the Bears' only Super Bowl. And at this rate, the Bears' only Super Bowl will qualify for Social Security before it gets a brother. But let me get back to smart, well-run organizations. The Packers had a starter, and they drafted Aaron Rodgers in the first round when they needed something else. The Packers had a starter, and they drafted Jordan Love in the first round when they needed something else. Rodgers is going to the Hall of Fame and the Hall of Weird. Love went to the playoffs, by the way. Did you see that? And he went through the Bears twice this year, pantsing the McCaskey-owned Clown College. So do this. Do what they do. They're smarter than you. Keep Fields. Draft Williams. Make Williams sit. Make Tyson Bagent your number two. So if Fields gets hurt, and he will, it's what happens, Bagent plays. Williams stays on the sidelines. It's the one thing the Bears have never stuck to. Stick to this, no matter what. Vontae Mack, no matter what. Sorry, I had to. This is not a quarterback competition. This is a line of succession. This is the Chiefs with Mahomes, the Packers with Rodgers and Love. It's what winning organizations do. The Bears are losers. They failed to come close to executing any kind of plan. Try this. Stick with this. Yeah, the Bears could get a lot for that top for the top pick and fill in holes and blah, blah, blah. The Chiefs have holes, by the way. But Mahomes deodorizes everything. I believe Fields had a better number one receiver than Mahomes. And Fields wasn't good enough. Not even close. So the Bears need that guy. This idea would give Fields a chance to prove that he's not the mirage I think he is. But more importantly, this gives the Bears a chance to groom Williams better than they've groomed such a talent previously. Groom such a talent the way adult teams do. The Bears got to find a way to get out of off the kiddie table. I haven't heard Ryan Poles really declare expectations for next season. I mean, I don't think his problematic roster is taking the North anytime soon. But if there's a whiff of playoff talk, the idea of keeping Fields while drafting Williams, starting Fields, that plan plays to the playoff idea. If there's a whiff of pleasing that locker room, this plan certainly plays to that. Meanwhile, Williams sits, Williams watches, Williams gets shown Mahomes tapes. Not Justin Fields tapes. I don't know if it'll work. And these are the Bears, and they can Bears up anything, and they have. But I know this. It's something you haven't stuck with. But look, if you're the Bears, and you can stick with someone as ill-equipped as Matt Eberflus as head coach, then you can order everybody to stick with a plan revolving around a player far more important. That's my idea. Keep Fields, start him, draft Williams. Bagent's your number two. Williams doesn't see the field, maybe at the end of the year. But that's it. Thanks for hearing me out.
Next, we're going to check in on how the NFL is doing in its Taylor Swift era. Nancy Armour, terrific. USA Today, she wrote about the state of football and men and women. She's next. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckage. I suck so you don't have to. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station. I get older, but just never wiser. Midnights become my
afternoons. When my depression was she is. Multi-billion dollar industry known as Taylor Swift. She's in her NFL era. The NFL is in its Taylor Swift era. This is your Saturday Suckage era, at least for the next 2.5 hours. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Welcome in. Welcome back. Thank you for listening. We're going to go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois and bring in my friend, a wonderful, respected, and terrific columnist for USA Today. She is Nancy Armour. Hi, Nance.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing okie dokie, and I loved what you wrote this week about Taylor Swift and men and women and football, and I'd like you to share that with the class. And then we will proceed. So give it to us.
Well, as anybody who has not been living under a rock for the last 4 or 5 months knows, Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce of the Kansas City Chiefs and has become a frequent, makes frequent appearances at the Chiefs games. And that has made some people, almost overwhelmingly men, lose their you know what minds. because the broadcasters happen to show her, you know, there are claims that she's interrupting the games, that she's taking over, blah, blah, blah. She's Yoko Ono-ing the Chiefs. She's the reason Travis Kelce hasn't been playing well. Basically, anything that has gone wrong with the Chiefs, Kelce, or the NFL is all of the fault of Taylor Swift.
And the feedback was such, you did post one of the emails that I just, I happen to have it up that
you can't read that. You're going to get fined.
I know. Yeah. We'll lose the license if I read this, but B word, shut the bleep up. You don't know a bleeping thing about what men think about football. And the only reason anyone gives a bleep about Taylor Swift at a football game, they keep showing the stupid B word like she's some kind of special person. I could give a bleep less about Taylor Swift, and for you to think it's only man bitching about her, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of women bitching about her too. So like I said, shut the bleep up, and no one gives a bleep about your opinion. You don't bleeping matter, apparently. You think you matter, but you don't. Donovan Edwards sent that. So you must matter because Donovan Edwards felt passionate enough to send that, and you were talking about the misogyny involved. So you wrote something that couldn't be more true, and what was the fallout? What has the fallout been, and what do you make of it?
Well, and as you read that, I don't know, listeners might have figured out that Donovan did not use any punctuation whatsoever. There was a comma at the very beginning, and other than that, no. To which I responded to somebody on Twitter that some men are uncomfortable with periods. So, you know, it was interesting. I, you know, contrary to what my friend Donovan said, I did get a lot of feedback on this. The only responses that I got, the only emails, I think I got one comment on Twitter from a woman. Everyone else who responded to me told me I didn't know what I was talking about, told me that I was making too much of it, was from a guy. And I wrote this actually about something else a few years back, that when it is not your experience, when it is not your reality, it is neither your right nor your place to tell those of us whose it is how they should think or feel. So you as a man telling me that I'm overblowing it, that this isn't what's happening, you don't know that because you're not living that. Whereas every woman who's a sports fan would have nodded knowingly at this column because, you know, the reaction when you say, oh yeah, I like sports, or people find out what I do for a living, how did you start liking sports? I don't know, the same way my brother did. Or they test you, you know, who was the starting lineup for the Milwaukee Brewers 1982 World Series team? Like, I mean, it's stupid stuff like that. Like, we always have to prove our fandom in a way that men never have had to, never do. So that was kind of all of this wrapped into one.
My guest is Nancy Armour, USA Today, talking about a column she wrote, Men, Women in Football, about the NFL and this Taylor Swift era. And what you're talking about, proving your bona fides, reminded me only recently, it was like a week ago, I don't know why it got reposted, there was a Washington Post-sponsored discussion, Men, Women, Power, Hollywood, and Meryl Streep was on the panel, very esteemed woman. And she is making the point, similar to the way you are, she's making the point saying, if you are a woman in Hollywood, it's not enough that you are good at what you do. You have to be good at thinking like a man in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And she did a wonderful job of making the points how women in Hollywood have to think this way, even though it may be counter to what they believe, but they have to think like a man. And on this panel, after Meryl Streep delivered this wonderful explanation, some guy says, I think what Meryl's trying to say...
He mansplained her.
Yeah. So what you said struck me that I never thought how much more women have to do. Women aren't allowed to just enjoy sports. And yet the ratings show, especially for female viewers now, the ratings show that there are more women, maybe more casual fans. They're coming to the game. They are attracted by whatever it is. The NFL has to be loving this, and yet people who are there, you feel frustrated every time you got to give your bona fides, even there's more women coming to the game.
Yeah, and you know, listen, the NFL's fan base for the better part of the last decade has been close to 50% female. So it's not as if this is women watching football, women watching the NFL is a new phenomenon. But and somebody made this point the other day, which I thought was really interesting and really smart. The NFL has kind of, I don't want to say it's tapped out its U.S. market, but, you know, it's in its quest to get to that $25 billion revenue goal that Roger Goodell set years ago. They have to find new revenue streams. And we're seeing that they kind of have figured out that there aren't a lot of other places that they can squeeze in the U.S. So they go over, you know, that's why we're seeing all the overseas games. That's why we're seeing a push to really bring in international fans. Now they have been gifted another group of fans in the U.S. And I've heard from so many people anecdotally who said, you know, I kind of paid attention to the NFL or I didn't pay attention to the NFL. And I started because, yeah, I wanted to see Taylor Swift. I wanted to see the guy that she was dating. And wow, I really like football. Like, why would you turn away a new revenue stream? I mean, and especially the young demographic, you know, that's the other thing that the NFL has found, that younger fans or younger people are not watching to the degree that that people in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s and on up have. So if you are bringing in a younger demographic, a female demographic, why wouldn't you embrace that? But again, there are, you know, the traditional, I'll call them, I'm putting that in air quotes, traditional fans who don't want their space invaded, and that threatens them. And it goes beyond, I mean, this is a microcosm for what they feel their place in the world is being threatened, that, you know, women are taking over in the C-suites. We're not, unfortunately. You know, we're taking over in all of these places, which isn't the case, but that's how they feel. And so that's, you know, they're reacting to that.
Talking with Nancy Armour, USA Today, terrific columnist, and we're talking about the NFL and men and women and Taylor Swift, and you're going to see a lot of her tomorrow when the Chiefs play Baltimore. She's expected to be there. She will be there. And I found it interesting. My daughter writes for CNN Digital, and she had noted that when Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce first became an item, see, I'm trying to page six it right here, Nance, item, they were, whether they were canoodling or not, she was shown like 17 times that game, that first game in October. And last week, Chiefs-Bills, it was around six. Now, granted, Jason Kelce took most of the, ate up most of the camera, and God, I love him. But,
and nobody lost their minds about that.
And that's exactly the point. She was shown about six times. Women viewership is up. And her, the New York Times noted, they wrote a piece on this too. You retweeted it, that we're talking about an average of 25 seconds per game of a 3-hour game that she's camera. So, so it sounds ridiculous to rail against this when every NBA finals in the 80s, you got your fill of Jack Nicholson sitting courtside, didn't you?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And we still see it, you know. The Ravens game last weekend, how many cuts to Jim Harbaugh were there? A bunch. You know, and sure, he's in the news because at that point, we were all wondering, you know, which NFL team is he going to go to? Is he coming back to the NFL? But still, you're showing people who are not directly involved in the game. And why do we lose our minds about Taylor Swift, but we don't about Jason Kelce? In fact, we think it's wonderful. And, you know, the other thing is, these are not these clips of people, whether it's Taylor Swift, Jason Kelce, Jim Harbaugh, they're not interrupting the game. There is, as anybody who watches the NFL knows, there's a lot of dead time in a game between plays. You know, they're not missing a touchdown pass. They're not missing a sack because they're showing Taylor Swift. It's happening after a play in the however many seconds there are between one play to the next.
Are you much, I never met a conspiracy I didn't want to embrace. And you seem much too practical for that. But let me run this by you, because on Mully and Haw yesterday, they cited the record of the referee favoring the referee for tomorrow's Chiefs Ravens game, favoring the visiting team. And the visiting team is the one that Taylor Swift's boyfriend plays for, which would put Taylor Swift's boyfriend's team in the Super Bowl again. So how's that fix you for a conspiracy?
Oh, I'm sure there are people who think that the NFL is rigging this, but if the NFL rigged things, the Cowboys wouldn't suck in the playoffs as much as they do. So, I mean, and Aaron Rodgers wouldn't have gotten hurt four plays into this season. You know, it is fun to you know, kind of imagine these conspiracies in the NFL, but and kudos to the NFL for taking, you know, like being in on the joke with their ads before the season, the, you know, scripting out the season.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too, there's too much involved in this in football and in really in any sporting event for you to be able to do something like that. And I think the Ravens are a great story too. You've got Lamar Jackson, who is absolutely wonderful. I don't think, you know, this isn't a case that the NFL, yes, they would, I'm sure that they would like to have Taylor Swift, though people don't seem to realize she's going to be back on tour at that point. But, you know, I think they would be happy with either one of those teams.
Nancy Armour is my guest. She writes columns for USA Today, does a terrific job. So before I let you go, you're here, you know what, you've read what's going on, you've watched what the Bears have done at quarterback, and you've wondered why, and you've watched what they haven't done, and you're watching Green Bay and the Lions take the North and threaten not to give it back, and the way they've won, traded for a quarterback, wasn't afraid, even though it traded away a guy who went on to win a Super Bowl in the other city, and here's Jared Goff. He can't really play outdoors. That's going to be an issue, but he's going to be playing outdoors for a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and then there is the Chiefs and Bills, and you see a lot of similarities to what the Bears might do, might have, might imagine. Which way would you go? What would you do if you were the Bears?
Wow. There's a laundry list. I think the thing that they can't do is, what they need to do is get off the hamster wheel. I mean, I got here in, I guess, 98. I mean, I can't count, like, how many dozens of quarterbacks have the Bears had in the last 25 years? I mean, you've got to find something and stick it, whether it's the right person coaching him. But this starting over, you know, but if you draft a quarterback, whether it's Caleb Williams or somebody else, you're starting over, you know. And yes, you might strike lightning and get somebody who succeeds in his first year, like a CJ Stroud or Jordan Love in his first year as a starter. But, you know, history has shown that that doesn't happen that often. So are you just going to keep giving up on guys after 2 or 3 years? Or do you need to make sure that you're getting the right coach, get him in the right system, get the right pieces around him, specifically on the offensive line, and try and develop something? Because it just, this constant starting over just does not work.
I had voiced earlier in the show that my choice would be this: keep Fields, start him, draft Williams, make him number three, Tyson Bagent is number two. He plays, if Fields gets hurt, not Williams, you get as close to what Mahomes did, you get as close to what Love did, you get as close to what Rodgers did. Those organizations know the care and feeding of quarterbacks and grooming them. The Bears do not, and they need to stick to it. They can't play Mitch Trubisky just because Mike Glennon sucks, and they can't rush in Justin Fields because Andy Dalton got hurt and you're not going to block for Justin Fields. I contend the best plan, because they're not going to win the Super Bowl next year, the best plan is make sure they get that guy. And if he's that number one pick, give him time to watch how it all works.
Yeah, I think that's, I would agree with that. Because and I don't know that Trubisky ever would have been a great quarterback, but throwing him in when they did him a disservice. I mean, that basically they just killed him from the beginning. And I think the same thing would happen if they would put Williams in too early. So I like your idea of, you know, Fields has shown some flashes. He's shown some promise. Try and build on that. And then, you know, groom his backup. Maybe it's 3 years, maybe it's 2 years, but don't just rush it in. Otherwise it's going to be history repeating itself again.
Yes, we've tried to make that point, but the groundhogs up at Hallis Hall just don't seem to listen. Nancy, great work. Love you. Love your work. Thank you very much for joining me today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks. Nancy Armour, USA Today. Terrific columnist. There you go, Swifties. We'll talk more about it. I do want to open the phones later on in the show. Are you bothered by this? Do you look forward to Taylor Swift? Does it ruin your football watching? Why or why not? Let me tell you this, though, about Championship Sunday, once we get past out of our Taylor Swift era and we get back into our Odyssey app era. Championship Sunday is tomorrow, and you can listen to both games free with the Odyssey app. Tune in tomorrow when Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs take on Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in the AFC title game. Coverage begins at 1 on the Score. Then the 49ers host the Lions in the NFC Championship. Kickoff is at 5:30. The game will air on WBBM News Radio 780 AM due to Bulls basketball. Take the NFL playoffs wherever you go with 670 The Score and the free Odyssey app. We'll take a break, and when we come back, speaking of Bulls basketball, let's talk about the Bulls trade market from someone who's out of market. Frank Isola of ESPN will be here to talk about what the Bulls have done, which is nothing. We're number 9. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Here comes Zach LaVine. Get your tickets. First flight in 38 days for Zach LaVine and Kobe White with the dive.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
To let me know, should I stay or should I go?
Listen to that Ravi Triano production.
You say that you are mine.
Should I stay or should I go? Well, they should all go.
So
welcome in, welcome back.
Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum with you, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. And should I stay or should I go? What should the Bulls do? We ask that a lot in town. Let's ask it of somebody out of town. It takes the macro view, the macro look at the NBA. He's Frank Isola of ESPN. Thanks for joining me, Frank. Appreciate it.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. He's on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. What I watch here, and Arturis Inertiavis doesn't do anything. I don't know if he's inert or inept. It looks more inert. What is the perception of the Bulls around the league as the trade deadline approaches February 8th?
Yeah, I think everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen with Zach LaVine. And I think the Bulls would be smart to move on from him. Number one, the contract is ridiculous. And if you look at Zach LaVine, you know, he's a good player, but you know, his years in Minnesota, his years in Chicago, I guarantee you he might have lost more games over the last 7 years maybe than any player in the NBA. He's been on a lot of losing teams. And they, you know, when he got hurt and he went out of the lineup, they started playing much better. They got off to such a poor start. What was it, 4-13 they were to start the season? I think they're better than that. And it looks like they could get to around 500. But as you know, sometimes when you're at 500, you're in no man's land. And in the Eastern Conference, is good. You know, Boston has the most talent in the league. Milwaukee doesn't defend anybody, but they have two all-stars. Obviously, you have the MVP on Philadelphia. Cleveland has guys hurt, two starters hurt, and they continue to play really well. The Knicks have been really good. Miami's lost five in a row, but everyone's worried about Miami come playoff team. So right there, that's five really good teams in the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be really tough, or maybe that's six I mentioned, but it's going to be tough for, you know, Chicago to make any noise. I think they'll be in that position to be in the play-in. If they get to a first round playoff series, I would think that that's progress. But I think between now and the deadline, I think it would be smart if they could, you know, you want to make a good trade, but if they could move up for Zach LaVine.
My guest is Frank Isola. He is the co-host with Brian Scalabrine. God, everybody loves themselves some Scal, don't they?
You're right.
It's amazing.
He's one of these guys who just makes money by just being
Scal.
You know, Brian Scalabrine, beloved, you know, end of the bench guy. You got to see it up in Boston. I've been up in Boston with him. He can't walk 10 feet without somebody stopping him, wanting a picture with him.
We love our Brian Scalabrine. So the starting lineup on SiriusXM is the show Frank and Brian Scalabrine, and it's just wonderful the way he shows up, and he's just famous for being famous, right?
Yep.
That's what he is, and he's popular for being popular. Yep. So
I will say this, though. He does know the game really well, but he's also basically become a Boston Celtic leprechaun. The Celtics could do no wrong under Brian Scalabrine.
So as he looks at the East and you were running them down and you look at the top six teams and you go, well, maybe a chance for the play-in and maybe they win a play-in game. They won a play-in game and then they lost. And their big three still haven't made a basket down the stretch in the last 8 minutes. We're still waiting for that to happen. And I don't know. I keep coming back to the number one rule in life, which is follow the money. And in the NBA, I was surprised to find out that it is that turnstile driven, and nobody's told me this, but it has to be something coming down from the random Reinsdorf in charge, whatever the family wants, they desperately have to get into the playoffs and they have to sell hope that way. But that just doesn't seem like I don't know if that's true. I don't know if the playoff gate, a home game or two home games, is so significant. Do you know that? Could that be the motivation?
It certainly is. And, you know, I mean, Chicago, from the outside looking in, Chicago is a great sports town. I was there for those last three championship runs by the Chicago Bulls, and the carryover for that is still pretty dramatic. You know, I remember I was watching two nights ago, Daniil Medvedev played tennis in the Australian Open, and his coach is wearing a Chicago Bulls hat. You know, so the Bulls brand is still a big deal, and the fans still go to those games. Now, the product hasn't been very good since Michael Jordan left, right? It's only one conference final that they made it to, and that's when they lost to LeBron in the Miami Heat. It's tough, though. It's like, if you don't hit it in the draft, it really sets you back. Perfect example would be the Detroit Pistons. But, you know, I mean, I think DeMar DeRozan is certainly a good player. I think, you know, they have good talent, but you don't – if you're not going to get the superstar player, you know, you just got to find the guys that fit together. And I think a perfect example is New York. You know, the New York Knicks went out a few years ago. They got Julius Randle, who basically nobody wanted. He's been a two-time All-Star. He might be the All-Star this year. They got Jalen Brunson, who a lot of teams could have had. Dallas could have signed him for 4 years, $50 million, end up getting $100 million from the Knicks, and now he looks like he's underpaid. He's going to be an all-star this year. So if you can't get the superstar player, there are ways to build a team. I mean, there's a team, if you look at the Detroit Pistons, when they won the championship, they had a lot of really good players, whether Rasheed Wallace and Rip Hamilton.
Chauncey
Billups.
Yeah,
but, you know, they didn't have Michael Jordan. They didn't have Isaiah Thomas on their team. They didn't have, you know, Charles Barkley, Kevin Durant, LeBron James. So there are ways to do it, but I think that's kind of where Chicago is right now. It's either about making a smart trade that's going to help you, or maybe getting a little lucky in the draft, like Denver got lucky in the draft. Nikola Jokic was a second-round pick.
Okay, so what is the greatest trade value, and how would you work it? Greatest trade piece on the Bulls, and what would you do about it?
I mean, I think there are teams that are desperate, and I think, you know, the Lakers, because of LeBron's age, are certainly looking to make a move. And, you know, LeBron is very good at being passive-aggressive, but his passive-aggressiveness, like, increases, you know, like the weeks leading up to the trade deadline where, you know, he's sending mixed messages and he wants the team to react. But the only issue now with the Lakers is that they moved a lot of the assets they had last year to make the trades that they did. And those trades, to be fair, worked out. They did make it to a conference finals. They went from a play-in team to making it to the conference finals. But I think Zach LaVine, and I think teams would look at him with two kind of established stars, and he's the third guy. I think they would, you know, I could see a team taking a chance. And my biggest issue with him, if I were running a team, like, there's no question that he's talented, but he's always hurt. You can't count on the guy. But, you know, but there's 30 teams in the league where, you know, there's 29 that the Bulls would be dealing with. I think they could find a taker for him. I just wouldn't make a move for Zach LaVine. Based mostly, the contract is a big part of it, but he's always hurt.
I think their greatest trade card around the NBA, because NBA people really know, he's not going to sell tickets, but he's going to help get you to the next round, is Alex Caruso. And they see more protective of him than ever. And I don't know where that gets you if you're the Bulls. Where does that get you not trading Alex Caruso?
Yeah, and I think you're right. And maybe, you know, let's be realistic about this. You still have a couple, you know, the trade deadline's coming up. So if they know there are a lot of teams interested, maybe they just haven't gotten the offer that they want. And I'm sure for him, maybe it's a young player and a first round pick. You know, I'm sure they're asking for the moon, and why wouldn't you? And you're trying to, you know, negotiate and, you know, with several teams. But I think you're right. I think that's a guy. First of all, you've already seen him perform at a high level. He was on the Lakers team that won the championship. Granted, it was in the bubble. But I think that's a guy that could definitely attract some interest around the league. But again, and you love Alex Caruso, but he's hurt a lot as well. Like, the way that he plays, you know, he spends a lot of time diving for loose balls, and he's a very physical player, and it has caught up to him a little bit. So that's obviously a risk. Listen, he's not going to – a championship team is looking for him to be a piece. You're not looking for him to be your third-best player, but he certainly could be – a guy that can help you win, because he helped the Lakers win a few years ago in Orlando.
The other trade name we've heard, before I let you go, Frank Isola of the Starting Lineup with Brian Scalabrine on Sirius XM Radio, that we're talking NBA basketball. DeMar DeRozan has kind of reinvented himself. He was hurt at the same time and watched what the Bulls did without, and participated in what the Bulls did without LaVine, and how suddenly their 30 assists is nothing now. They're getting there easily, and they're moving the ball, and they're playing the way it was imagined. And there's a lot of the San Antonio DeRozan in this kind of selflessness or sharing or just basketball IQ. Is he a guy that you trade for him if you need a third piece? Is he a third guy for a team that can go to the finals?
100%. 100%. The guy could, first of all, you put the ball in his hands, he could make plays. I love the fact that he's, you know, one of the few guys in the league that scores from inside the three-point line. You know, everyone else is shooting three-pointers. You know, he does it kind of the old-fashioned way. He's got a very good mid-range game. You almost wonder if a team like Miami might be interested in somebody like DeMar DeRozan, because, you know, I like him. I think he's a low-maintenance player. I think, you know, he plays team basketball. I don't exactly know what Chicago is trying to do. Like, to your point, I think they want to be in the playoffs. But, you know, if there are deals out there where they can get, you know, multiple first-round picks for a young player that they like, why wouldn't you make the move? They're not winning a championship there this year. I mean, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to get out of the first round, obviously, with where they'll finish up, seventh or eighth. But I think you have to make a move, and I would make all those guys available.
Frank, really great talking with you. Thanks for your time, and say hi to Scal. Chicago loves him, and I know he'd love to hear that Chicago will buy him a drink, and he will take Chicago up on that.
And you're 100% right. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Frank Isola. The starting lineup on Sirius XM Radio with everybody's friend, Ryan Scalabrini. What a great thing. That must just, when you work with Scalabrini with that kind of sense of humor and as beloved as he is, it makes me think of Elliot Harris when I was at the Sun-Times. I came in one day after, in Ditka's last year, there was a Monday Ditka press conference, and Elliot Harris looks up and says, "Does it really count as a day of work when you cover a Ditka press conference?" Yeah, it did, fortunately. All right, we'll take a break. Maybe we can make you some money on tomorrow's championship games. Ryan Horvath of BetMGM, part of the QL network, will be here to talk about it. And the response to the discussion about Taylor Swift to men and women in football, we're going to open the phone lines after that next hour. And you can bring your questions. You can bring your thoughts. 312-644-6767. Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here comes Zach Levine. Get your tickets.
First flight in 38 days for Zach Levine and Kobe White with the dive.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
Listen to that Ravi Triano production.
You say that you are mine.
Should I stay or should I go? Well, they should all go. Welcome in, welcome back. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum with you, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And should I stay or should I go? What should the Bulls do? We ask that a lot in town. Let's ask it of somebody out of town. It takes the macro view, the macro look at the NBA. He's Frank Isola of ESPN. Thanks for joining me, Frank. Appreciate it.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. He's on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. I watch here, and Arturis Inertiavis doesn't do anything. I don't know if he's inert or inept. It looks more inert. What is the perception of the Bulls around the league as the trade deadline approaches February 8th?
Yeah, I think everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen with Zach LaVine. And I think the Bulls would be smart to move on from him. Number one, the contract is ridiculous. And if you look at Zach LaVine, you know, he's a good player, but you know, his years in Minnesota, his years in Chicago, I guarantee you he might have lost more games over the last 7 years maybe than any player in the NBA. He's been on a lot of losing teams. And they, you know, when he got hurt and he went out of the lineup, they started playing much better. They got off to such a poor start. What was it, 4-13? They were to start the season. I think they're better than that. And it looks like they could get to around 500. But as you know, sometimes when you're at 500, you're in no man's land. And in the Eastern Conference is good. You know, Boston has the most talent in the league. Milwaukee doesn't defend anybody, but they have two all-stars. Obviously, you have the MVP on Philadelphia. Cleveland has guys hurt, two starters hurt, and they continue to play really well. The Knicks have been really good. Miami's lost five in a row, but everyone's worried about Miami come playoff team. So right there, that's five really good teams in the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be really tough, or maybe that's six I mentioned. But it's going to be tough for, you know, Chicago to make any noise. I think they'll be in that position to be in the play-in. If they get to a first-round playoff series, I would think that that's progress. But I think between now and the deadline, I think it would be smart if they could, you know, you want to make a good trade, but if they could move up a Zach LaVine.
My guest is Frank Isola. He is the co-host with Brian Scalabrine. God, everybody loves themselves some Scal, don't they?
You're right.
He hosts.
You're right. It's amazing. He's one of these guys who just makes money by just being
Scal.
You know, Brian Scalabrine, beloved, you know, end of the bench guy. You got to see it up in Boston. I've been up in Boston with him. He can't walk 10 feet without somebody stopping him, wanting a picture with him.
We love our Brian Scalabrine. So the starting lineup on SiriusXM is the show Frank and Brian Scalabrine, and it's just wonderful the way he shows up, and he's just famous for being famous, right?
Yep.
That's what he is, and he's popular for being popular. Yep.
I will say this though, he does know the game really well, but he's also basically become a Boston Celtic leprechaun. The Celtics could do no wrong under Brian Scalabrine.
So as he looks at the East and you were running them down and you look at the top six teams and you go, well, maybe a chance for the play in and maybe they win a playing game, they won a playing game and then they lost, and their big three still haven't made a basket down the stretch. In the last 8 minutes, we're still waiting for that to happen. And I don't know, I keep coming back to the number one rule in life, which is follow the money. And in the NBA, I was surprised to find out that it is that turnstile driven. And nobody's told me this, but it has to be something coming down from the random Reinsdorf in charge, whatever the family wants, whatever they desperately have to get into the playoffs and they have to sell hope that way. But that just doesn't seem like I don't know if that's true. I don't know if the playoff gate, a home game or two home games, is so significant. Do you know that? Could that be the motivation?
It certainly is. And, you know, I mean, Chicago, from the outside looking in, Chicago is a great sports town. I was there for those last three championship runs by the Chicago Bulls, and the carryover for that is still pretty dramatic. You know, I remember I was watching two nights ago, Daniil Medvedev play tennis in the Australian Open, and his coach is wearing a Chicago Bulls hat. You know, so the Bulls brand is still a big deal, and the fans still go to those games. Now, the product hasn't been very good since Michael Jordan left, right? It's only one conference final that they made it to, and that's when they lost to LeBron in the Miami Heat. It's tough, though. It's like, if you don't hit it in the draft, it really sets you back. Perfect example would be the Detroit Pistons. But, you know, I mean, I think DeMar DeRozan is certainly a good player. I think, you know, they have good talent. But you don't – if you're not going to get the superstar player, you know, you just got to find the guys that fit together. And I think a perfect example is New York. You know, the New York Knicks went out a few years ago. They got Julius Randle, who basically nobody wanted. He's been a two-time All-Star. He might be the All-Star this year. They got Jalen Brunson, who a lot of teams could have had. Dallas could have signed him for 4 years, $50 million, end up getting $100 million from the Knicks, and now he looks like he's underpaid. He's going to be an All-Star this year. So if you can't get the superstar player, there are ways to build a team. I mean, there's a team, if you look at the Detroit Pistons, when they won the championship, they had a lot of really good players, whether Rasheed Wallace and Rip Hamilton.
Chauncey
Billups. Yeah, but, you know, they didn't have Michael Jordan. They didn't have Isaiah Thomas on their team. They didn't have, you know, Charles Barkley, Kevin Durant, LeBron James. So there are ways to do it, but I think that's kind of where Chicago is right now. It's either about making a smart trade that's going to help you, or maybe getting a little lucky in the draft, like Denver got lucky in the draft. Nikola Jokic was a second-round pick.
Okay, so what is the greatest trade value, and how would you work it? Greatest trade piece on the Bulls, and what would you do about it?
I mean, I think there are teams that are desperate, and I think, you know, the Lakers, because of LeBron's age, are certainly looking to make a move. And, you know, LeBron is very good at being passive-aggressive, but his passive-aggressiveness, like, increases, you know, like the weeks leading up to the trade deadline where he's always sending mixed messages and he wants the team to react. But the only issue now with the Lakers is that they moved a lot of the assets they had last year to make the trades that they did. And those trades, to be fair, worked out. They did make it to a conference finals. They went from a play-in team to making it to the conference finals. But I think Zach LaVine, and I think teams would look at him with two kind of established stars, and he's the third guy. I think they would, you know, I could see a team taking a chance. And my biggest issue with him, if I were running a team, like, there's no question that he's talented, but he's always hurt. You can't count on the guy. But, you know, but there's 30 teams in the league, or, you know, there's 29 that the Bulls would be dealing with. I think they could find a taker for him. I just wouldn't make a move for Zach LaVine. Based mostly, the contract is a big part of it, but he's always hurt.
I think their greatest trade card around the NBA, because NBA people really know, he's not going to sell tickets, but he's going to help get you to the next round, is Alex Caruso. And they see more protective of him than ever. And I don't know where that gets you if you're the Bulls. Where does that get you not trading Alex Caruso?
Yeah, and I think you're right. And maybe, you know, let's be realistic about this. You still have a couple, you know, the trade deadline's coming up. So if they know there are a lot of teams interested, maybe they just haven't gotten the offer that they want. And I'm sure for him, maybe it's a young player and a first-round pick. You know, I'm sure they're asking for the moon, and why wouldn't you? And you're trying to, you know, negotiate and, you know, with several teams. But I think you're right. I think that's a guy. First of all, you've already seen him perform at a high level. He was on the Lakers team that won the championship. Granted, it was in the bubble, but I think that's a guy that could definitely attract some interest around the league. But again, and you love Alex Caruso, but he's hurt a lot as well. Like the way that he plays, you know, he spends a lot of time diving for loose balls, and he's a very physical player, and it has caught up to him a little bit. So that's obviously a risk. Listen, he's not going to. A championship team is looking for him to be a piece. You're not looking for him to be your third best player, but he certainly could be a guy that can help you win, because he helped the Lakers win a few years ago in Orlando.
The other trade name we've heard, before I let you go, Frank Isola of the starting lineup with Brian Scalabrine on Sirius XM Radio, we're talking NBA basketball. DeMar DeRozan has kind of reinvented himself. He was hurt at the same time and watched what the Bulls did without, and participated in what the Bulls did without LaVine, and how suddenly their 30 assists is nothing now. They're getting there easily, and they're moving the ball, and they're playing the way it was imagined. And there's a lot of the San Antonio DeRozan in this kind of selflessness or sharing or just basketball IQ. Is he a guy that you trade for him if you need a third piece? Is he a third guy for a team that can go to the finals?
100%. The guy could, first of all, you put the ball in his hands, he could make plays. I love the fact that he's, you know, one of the few guys in the league that scores from inside the three-point line. You know, everyone else is shooting three-pointers. You know, he does it kind of the old-fashioned way. He's got a very good mid-range game. You almost wonder if a team like Miami might be interested in somebody like DeMar DeRozan, because, you know, I like him. I think he's a low-maintenance player. I think, you know, he plays team basketball. I don't exactly know what Chicago is trying to do. Like, to your point, I think they want to be in the playoffs. But, you know, if there are deals out there where they can get, you know, multiple first-round picks or a young player that they like, why wouldn't you make the move? They're not winning a championship there this year. I mean, I think it's going to be very difficult for them to get out of the first round, obviously, with where they'll finish up, seventh or eighth. But I think you have to make a move, and I would make all those guys available.
Frank, really great talking with you. Thanks for your time. And say hi to Scal. Chicago loves him, and I know he'd love to hear that Chicago will buy him a drink, and he will take Chicago up on that.
You're 100% right. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Frank Isola. The starting lineup on Sirius XM Radio with everybody's friend, Ryan Scalabrine. What a great thing. That must just, when you work with Scalabrine with that kind of sense of humor and as beloved as he is, it makes me think of Elliot Harris when I was at the Sun-Times. I came in one day after, in Ditka's last year, there was a Monday Ditka press conference, and Elliot Harris looks up and says, does it really count as a day of work when you cover a Ditka press conference? Yeah, it did, fortunately. All right, we'll take a break. Maybe we can make you some money on tomorrow's championship games. Ryan Horvath of BetMGM, part of the QL network, will be here to talk about it. And the response to the discussion about Taylor Swift to men and women in football, we're going to open the phone lines after that next hour. And you can bring your questions. You can bring your thoughts. 312-644-6767. Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.